I'm Karen Lowen, the founder of Witchbox, the witchcraft subscription box company, and walker on the magical path. Welcome to our podcast, the official podcast of Witchbox, and I hope that you find lots of interest today. So today I want to talk to you about magical words. Words are important. We use words every day to communicate with our fellow humans and also with ourselves. So most of us, not everybody, but most of us have an inner voice, which occasionally we hear its dialogue going on in our heads, particularly when we're trying to go to sleep, for some of us. The words that we speak, both verbally to other people and to the universe, and the words that we tell ourselves, are important. If you think about it, think of the power of somebody saying to you, "I hate you," or the amazing power of somebody saying to you, perhaps for the first time, "I love you." They are powerful words, but the secret with words is often in the intent and the delivery. You can very often tell, I'm sure, if somebody is speaking words, but they are not meaning them. So we've all met people who we think are not speaking their genuine words. So very often we can, as human beings, sense what is being said to us, whether it is genuine or not. In witchcraft, when you're speaking words, we make them rhyme. Now, why? Well, there are several reasons why we make words rhyme. One is that it helps us to focus. It helps us to focus our intent, particularly if we've written those words ourselves or adapted them. And secondly, it's far easier to remember a spell if the words rhyme. I'm sure we all remember our childhood rhymes, things like Incy Wincy Spider climbing up the spout. We remember those because they're short, they have some kind of memory attached for us, but they also rhyme. So things that rhyme are far easier to focus on and remember. The power of our words is also in how we perceive ourselves and how we go out into the world. And this is one reason why we often have affirmations. Now, affirmations are words that you tell yourself. So a good affirmation is, "I am beautiful." Another one is, "I am unique. I can achieve anything I want to achieve." And once you start to focus on these, you'll find that very often your actions align with your beliefs. So if you believe that you are powerful, for example, which is often very important in the craft, then the chances are that you will be powerful. Words have a meaning to us and to other people. And to convey that meaning, we often have to put our focus, our energy and our power into those words. So when we're speaking words in witchcraft, think of, for example, a common phrase in Wicca and some other pathways is, "So mote it be," which is often found on the end of a spell. So mote it be, so may it happen, so might it be, in other words. If you just say a spell and you go, "Yeah, so mote it be, it's not really going to have the power that if you focus on it and you say, "So mote it be." It's a much more powerful way of expressing those words. But the important thing is that when you're saying words, that you put something of your essence and yourself into them. So when you're using spells and you're speaking spells, you may, for example, want to sing the words. You might want to chant the words. You might want to drum along as you say the words. Anything that increases your focus, your intent, and your power will have a greater effect. The witch's chant, or otherwise known as the echo echo chant. The echo echo chant, no one knows its origins. Its history has somewhat been lost in the mists of time, and its meaning has also been lost. So you will find some witches that use it in their practice. Personally, I do, but others that don't, because they believe that if no one knows the true meaning, then it could be dangerous, or, you know, quite tricky to use the words. For me, it's all about the intent and the sound of the words. And even though the meaning has been lost, we do have some idea as to what it says. So there are lots of different versions of this chant. I'm going to read you one that was written by F.C. Fuller in his book. And that one goes, echo, echo, Azarak. Echo, echo, Somelak. Zodru goz I Zodruku. Zodur goz I kurumu. Echo, echo, hu hu hu. Now, obviously, if I was saying that during ritual work or spell, I put a lot more emphasis and oomph into it. But that is, in essence, the echo, echo chant. But as I say, lots of different versions. So another version, very similar to that one, was used in a book by the Farrers. That's Janet and Stuart in the book Eight Sabbats for Witches. And they said that they got that one from Doreen Valiente, who was a really well-known, wonderful witch that left us a huge body of research and work. Now, what do the words mean? Well, it's been theorised that echo, echo means all hail. Again, nobody's sure. And that the words after echo, echo, such as Azarak, Zomalak, are or were deities. So they could be names of gods or angels. Some fear demons, but let's face it, that's from the Christian era, and we're going back pre then to our Celtic origins. So it's very common in witchcraft to adapt chants and then claim that they're ancient, but these don't date back that long because we've only got written records from about the 2nd century, so we really don't know when this one started. Some witches believe that you need to say it 3 times in order to increase its power. Again, it's always with anything, personal preference. So another version of this chant is used commonly in Wicca at the end of the Wiccan chant, and I'll read you this one. That goes, echo, echo, Azarak. Echo, echo, Zanilak. Echo, echo, Karnana. Echo, echo, Aradia. Slightly different because they're using or have changed the names of the deities in there to be more recognisable. Some people believe that it's a chant for calling on the quarters, so in other words, the points of the compass, north, south, east and west. But we don't know. So whether you use that in your practice is entirely up to you or not. You can find many versions of it online, so do have a look and see what you think. What is the most magical word that we have? The most magical word. The most magical word that we have is abracadabra. It's normally said abracadabra. So the A's are drawn out. Now this is an ancient, powerful word, but unfortunately in recent years it's been used in the field of entertainment more and more and has lost its importance to many witches and magical workers, and I think that's quite sad. No one knows exactly where it comes from, but it's thought that it either comes from the Aramaic language, meaning I create like the word, or from the Hebrew, I create as I speak. Just think about that for a minute. That's quite powerful, isn't it? A word that means I create as I speak. How much magical could you get? Both of those translations seem to have the same meaning to me, and the Hebrew translation also fits into the Kabbalistic notions that words have the power to create. And again, we believe that in witchcraft, our words have the power to influence and provoke the universe. Originally, it was written in triangular form. So you would have abracadabra written out, and then you would have abracadabra underneath with one letter left off the end. And the next line would have two letters left off the end until you're just down to the bottom where you've just got the letter A. And this was worn as an amulet, originally to ward off malaria in the 2nd century. And people wore it on a clay tablet or other form of tablet around their neck in the triangular shape. It first appeared in a book by Cenarus Simonicus. I think I've said that correctly. I don't know him. He was a physician, apparently, at the Roman courts. And he wrote about abracadabra in the 2nd century. It's also been used as part of a formula for summoning demons in Gnostics. So if you believe in Gnostics, then you will have heard of it. And during the Middle Ages, it was used again to ward off the plague. Sometimes it was written abracadabra above doorways and again worn as an amulet. Daniel Defoe in 1722 wrote about it being used as a way of warding off the plague. So whether you want to use abracadabra in your magical workings is entirely up to you. I think personally we ought to start a trend to bring it back because it's an incredibly powerful word. I create as I speak. There is a magical language known as the Enochian language. Now, Enochian is a branch of magic all in itself, but the Enochian language is said to have been dictated from the angels. And again, angels may not be part of your belief system. However, it was said that this language was dictated by the angels to John Dee and his colleague Edward Kelly. And they wrote it down. Therefore, it is primarily believed to be a celestial language and is used when performing Enochian magic. Now, there are 21 characters in the language and various grammatical devices. Some people, Donald Laycock was one, criticised it heavily, saying that it wasn't a true language. But others, you know, just take it as it is or have investigated it further and found it to be a language. So you can draw your own conclusions with a little bit of research as to what you think. Enochian magic is a belief system based on angelic magic. It involves invocations and calling and summoning of celestial beings. But we won't go into that now because we are talking here about magical words. So John Dee worked in Elizabethan times. He was a court advisor to Elizabeth I and he conducted quite a lot of experiments in contacting the spirit world. So Enochian language, you can look at what it is, and if you're interested in Enochian magic, then you can find out more about that. We did at Witchbox at one time do an angelic magic box. So we had some of these things covered in that. We haven't done one since because we very rarely repeat a theme. But we perhaps could be persuaded to let you have some more information if you are really interested in that. Thank you for listening to me today. I am Karen Lowen, otherwise known as The Witch Crone, founder of Witchbox, a subscription box company for witches worldwide, and walker on the magical path.